Lord be with you.
Amen.
Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Today we continue our Epiphany celebration, and also we observe the sanctity of human life. We thank God for the gift of life, and we pray that God would use us to be bold defenders of this gift today and always. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 575, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. That's on page 151 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. The propers are on the other. Our focus will be on the epistle reading from Romans chapter 13. For our hymn of praise, we'll sing the Gloria. And for our post-communion canticle, we'll sing the Nunc Dimittis. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You this day for the blessings that You shower down upon us. We are bold to confess that You are the Creator of heaven and earth. Help us to realize that as we make that bold confession, we also confess that You are the Creator of me. Every pore, every cell, every hair on our head, by Your gracious design. And Heavenly Father, as our bodies and souls are tainted by sin, we give You thanks for the redemption that comes through the blood of Your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Heavenly Father, help us to rejoice in the gift of life and in the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to give us life and life to the full. Amen. Amen. Hymn 575. Divine Service Setting 1, page 151. Page 151. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and unjust, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by Christ's authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
From above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth.
Lord God, have mercy on our hearts and hearts. We worship You, we give You thanks. We praise You for Your glory.
Almighty God, You know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Jonah, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleases you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel. According to St. Matthew, the 8th chapter. When Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Hymn 700, please be seated.
the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this Sanctity of Life Sunday is the epistle lesson read a few moments ago from the 13th chapter of Paul's letter to the Church of God in Rome, dear friends, in Christ. The law is fulfilled by love. Christ's love for you. In love, Jesus came to keep every law, every command, every statute perfectly. And then he died the death deserved by those who didn't. In love, Jesus fulfilled every one of the law's demands. And yet, still endured every one of the law's punishments. Christ shows love to his friends, his companions, those who love him and follow him, the members of the body of Christ. Jesus shows love to the other, those who are different, shunned by the world. His compassion is especially poured out on the poor and downtrodden. Christ shows love to his neighbors, whoever they are, in the church or still outside, all those in need. You know, that's how he defines the word neighbor in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The neighbor is the one who has a need. The disciples and Peter, the thief on the cross, an entire world trapped in the bondage of sin and death, you and me. We are in need. And Christ shows love to us. He helps us. He saves us. His life was laid down into death in love to fulfill the law for you. We were bleeding and dying in the ditch, cast there by our own sin and rebellion. But Jesus did not pass us by. He laid down his life for his friends. But more than his friends, his enemies as well. Indeed, every person who ever has lived or ever will live. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. He did no wrong, but he loved, he forgave, he saved. His love fulfilled the law perfectly and completely. And now, the law has no more penalty to execute upon us. It has no more threats to make against us. The Christian is now set free to love one another as Christ has loved us. The law is fulfilled among us in love born of faith. The law is fulfilled when believers, Christians, love others. We love because Christ first loved us. Our love flows from His love. Our love mirrors His love. We love as we have been loved, seeking to do no wrong to the neighbor, but freely giving of ourselves for the good of those around us. we love by laying down our own desires, by placing others in front of ourselves, by seeking not our own needs, but the needs of others. We love because every command that God has given is fulfilled by love. We love because it is our obligation as Christians. Yes, Lutherans, you heard me right, or you heard St. Paul right. He says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." The Lutheran confessions say that Scripture uses such expressions to indicate what we are bound to do because of God's ordinance, commandment, and will. Not to earn righteousness, not to become a Christian, but because we are Christians. Love for the neighbor is the Christian life. We love first those who are in the body of Christ, our fellow Christians, as Paul puts it in our text, one another. Indeed, Christ has placed us in a congregation because we all need the love of each other. That's why He's put us at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, so we can show love to each other. Love begins within the body of Christ. But it does not end there. Love doesn't end inside these walls. It doesn't even end within the wider body of Christ in this city or even the body of Christ around the world. Paul says, "The one who loves another has fulfilled the law." We owe love to the other, the one who's different. The poor and the downtrodden, the ones who cannot speak for themselves. We love those who are threatened, who are oppressed, who are subject to abuse and exploitation. The unlovable. Those we would not love if we had our choice. We love the children in the womb. Helpless, without a voice. Subject to a culture of death that sees them as expendable, as an inconvenience, as less than human, as simply a choice. We love those girls being trafficked without a home, trapped in desperate, terrible situations, exploited by those who hold abusive power over them. We love the elderly and the dying, often without a voice, viewed as a burden by society at large and even by those who should love them. We love the disabled and the infirm, who are different than us, often profoundly different, who are ignored at best or at worst exposed to ridicule and abuse. We love each and every person, regardless of age, regardless of development, regardless of any other factor that makes them different than us. Why? Because they are made in the image of God. Because they are loved by God. Because Christ died for them as He died for you. You know, if we learn anything from the book of Jonah, and we caught just the first chapter of it today, if we learn anything from the book of Jonah, it's that Christians don't get to pick and choose who to show love to. Christians love all people. Those in the body of Christ, first of all, and then those in the world around them. We even love sinners. those who have made mistakes, those who are desperately searching for a word of hope. In a 2015 study, 65% of women facing a crisis pregnancy thought that church members, Christians, were more likely to gossip about their situation than give them any help. These women expected the church only to condemn. They expected members, Christians, to simply talk behind their backs. They expected no understanding, no love. They expected the church to reject them because they are sinners, because they have committed that sin. And because they expected no help, no love, they so often listen to what the world has to offer. And what the world has to offer, they call it compassion. What the world has to offer is simply death. The sixth commandment, unconfessed, unforgiven, then leads to the fifth commandment, unconfessed, unforgiven. The same women who feared to tell the church when they faced a crisis pregnancy now fear to tell the church that they've had an abortion. 52% of Christian women who have had an abortion attend worship more than once or more a month. And more than half of them say that no one at their church knows that they've had an abortion. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, Paul tells us. We love sinners. We love them enough to preach the law to them, to drive them to repentance. And we love them enough to bring them Jesus, who forgives all their sins. But we do not stop with these powerful words. St. James tells us, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? We love them in tangible ways. We love them so that the voices of death have nothing to say. We shower these women with love. Not to ignore or excuse sin. What does the church do with sin? She forgives it. And then we help broken sinners deal with the consequences of their sin. We do this with every other sin. We do this with every other sinner. That is why the church exists. If we are not here to forgive sins, we might as well pack up and go home. Go to the country club on Sunday morning. And it is no different for the sins of the sixth and the fifth commandments. In that same 2015 study, 54% of women who have had an abortion said that they would not recommend that anyone discuss their crisis pregnancy with a local church. Now, certainly, many avoid the church because they have no repentance at all and they don't want to hear the law. But many more, I think many more, stay away because they expect no love from Christians. Dear friends, the Christian church, this congregation, should be the first place that women can go when they have fallen into sin, when they face a crisis pregnancy, when they have even had an abortion. For we have what they need. First and foremost, the overflowing, the abundant grace of God in the forgiveness of sins for the sake of Christ. And then, A community of believers who can love and support them and their child. We love the neighbor. And as Jesus teaches us, the neighbor is the one who has a need. The unborn child, it's in need of our protection. His mother is in need of our love. We love them because Christ loves them, because Christ loves us. Every command is summed up by love. It is only fulfilled by love. Keeping a commandment out of fear of punishment or to earn brownie points before God, that's actually sinful. Only good works done in faith are good. The commandments are only kept by love born of faith. We do not love others for our own good. That's spiritual abuse. Using my neighbor as a means for me to earn something before God or men. We do not love the unlovable so that others will be impressed. So that we will be exalted in the eyes of our neighbors. We love our neighbor not so that we can get into heaven or have a better place in heaven, as Rick Warren tries to teach us. We love them because Christ loves them. Because Christ loves us. The new man delights to love one another in the body of Christ. The new man delights to love the other who is different. Indeed, that new man delights to love anyone, any neighbor who has a need. But dear friends, you know that you do not have only the new man dwelling within you. The old man, well, he has no love for anyone but yourself. There are times when you have lived according to the flesh, when you have failed to love your neighbor, the unborn children of America, the child in your womb, or any other person who is in need. There are times when you have failed to show love to desperate sinners, but have let a woman in crisis remain in crisis. You have looked down upon the one hungering simply for a word of grace. Repent. And hear the gospel. If you have committed these sins, or any sins, especially the sins against the sixth and the fifth commandments, come to the waters of life. Come to the forgiveness of all your sins, pouring from the riven side of Jesus. You have come to the right place. Do not come clinging to your sins, seeking affirmation. But come repenting of them, despairing of them. Come and hear the words which heal. The words, the only words, which bring you the very love of Jesus Christ Himself. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, hear these words as often as they are proclaimed. Call on your pastor to proclaim them to you one-on-one. Drag him to the confessional booth. The sin of abortion, as devastating as it is not unforgivable, and neither is any other sin. Christ's love has fulfilled the law for you. Christ in love has taken your judgment upon Himself. Christ loves you. And His love is eternal. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Having heard the word, we stand, we confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth.
for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the church, that all believers in Christ would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and cling to the promise that His steadfast love endures forever, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the strength, the power, and the ability flowing from the empty cross and tomb to love one another as Christ has loved us, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Christian Church, that we celebrate the many blessings of abundant and everlasting life, that we declare and defend the precious value of every human being at every stage, in every state, no matter what he or she has done or hasn't done, and that we speak the truth, share love, listen, assist, accompany, embrace, and befriend. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the cultures and governments of this world, including our own, that those to whom our Lord has assigned authority act in accordance with His will, that each person, from the invisible miracle of conception to the moment of natural death, has life and has it to the full, and that laws ensure it especially unto all who are vulnerable. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those guilty of violence against life, that they know the unconditional compassion of Almighty God in His forgiveness, yes, even for them, and that they abandon the burdensome ways of sin and guilt and shame and selfishness. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those grieving as victims of violence against life, that they receive the healing and hope God works and gives specifically for them in the resurrection of His Son, our Savior Jesus, alongside with the compassionate family, the entire family of faith. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For any in need or in danger, especially the unborn and the aged, single mothers and orphans, terminally ill and chronically suffering, those with impaired minds and compromised bodies, and all among our number whom we remember in our hearts, that they receive the power of God in Christ and divine healing that only He can bring. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who receive the Holy Supper of Christ's very body and blood today, that they would be strengthened and preserved in body and soul unto life everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Into Your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy through Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Savior and Lord Jesus. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of God's unconditional love in Jesus would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. service continues with the offertory on page 159. What shall I render to the Lord? Please stand as you're able. Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In Him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper. When He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
body of Christ and the fruit of the blood of Christ. The body of Christ is the fruit of the blood of Christ. The body of Christ is the fruit of the blood of Christ. The body of Christ is the fruit of the blood of Christ.
Thank you.
joy, Lord, your sins are forgiven.
God of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. We stand. Give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Please be seated. Kids, you can go get some goodies right now. We'll sing our closing hymn, 706. Kids, you can get a little bit of a head start on us. We'll be back in here in about 5 minutes for our Sunday school opening. Hymn 706.